Our reading today comes from the very recognizable Psalm 23 of the Divine Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words, and ask that you would join with me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, we want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word that reminds us that you are alive and well, speaking to us. Speaking through us through this living word. It's not simply ink on paper. It's not an ancient text that doesn't matter anymore. Something that reminds us of an ever-present Father, you, a Lord, a source of grace. Keep us open to all of that. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Richard Foster is one of my favorite authors, theologian, scholar, fantastic individual. Tells a story about a time of temporary homelessness in his childhood, during which he learned how to find home in God. He learned how to find home in God, and he gave thanks for it. He calls it his grateful center, quote unquote. I like that term. When he was 7, his parents wanted to move from their home in Nebraska to the West Coast. True story. But they ran out of money before they reached their destination and spent the winter in a cabin in the Rocky Mountains. What was surely a very difficult time for his parents was heaven to this little 7-year-old boy. For, unlike the coal furnace of their old house, the cabin had a big fireplace. And every night, Richard slept near it on a sofa bed under a big, heavy quilt. Have you ever done that? Yeah. He wrote, "Night after night, I would fall asleep watching this strange yellow blaze that warmed us all. I was in my grateful center." He learned to find home with God, even in the most difficult times. Finding home with God, keeping God at the very center, having God as our grateful center, no matter what might be swirling around us, is very much what this psalm is about. Maybe you've heard this psalm before once or twice. Maybe you've heard it in the King James Version. I know that if you've ever been part of a service of death and resurrection that I have led, then I guarantee you, you have heard the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version. In fact, in the United Methodist Book of Worship, even in the little pocket book of worship, all the scripture is listed in the New Revised Standard Version except for the 23rd Psalm. People know it. There's a poetry in it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It rolls off our tongues, doesn't it? There's some great poetry in the King James Version, mainly in the Psalms. But nonetheless, it's something that we carry in our consciousness. This Wednesday, Kay Smith, We're going to be celebrating her being received into eternity. We'll have another service of death and resurrection here in this very sanctuary where we're gathered right now, this Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And guess what psalm is going to be read? This is a psalm that points to something greater than ourselves. It's one of 8 psalms in all of the Bible that simply says, of David, and nothing else. I can imagine that King David, in writing this psalm, pulled from such a deep and intimate place that he spoke about the things that were real, that he really needed. You know, I know that God is present whenever I happen to be doing spiritual direction work with people, whenever I happen to be spending time with people in a variety of circumstances, when maybe I'm getting together with a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, and we start talking about the things that are real, that are very real. We kind of get past the surface chit-chat and we get down to the nitty-gritty. You know those conversations, don't you? Sometimes it references something that might be a little bit uncomfortable at first. But that ushers in a whole outpouring of God's grace that washes over those people in that conversation and the words so that you understand that God is in it as well. The 23rd Psalm reminds us and all who read it, in whatever translation you read, that God is in it as well. Always will be. Let me share something with you, though. Another translation from The Message by Eugene Peterson. I don't know if you've ever looked at The Message, but it's an interesting rendition and rendering. And I just wanted you to hear this. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. That's very real, actually. Let me kind of catch my breath here and then let me go ahead and start on the journey again. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Now, whether you like that translation or not, there's some truth that is spoken out of those words. And maybe it's because the words are words that we would use now, today, in a conversation that we would have with other people. I'm not sure. It speaks, though, of being revived. It speaks of being sustained. It speaks of being real with God. Not trying to fool God. How many times have we tried to do that? And we realize, boy, God knew what was going on anyways. Why did I waste all that energy? Why did I spend all that time? God knew what was at work in my life, was at work in my thoughts, in my heart. God knew what was taking place. And why didn't I just be vulnerable with Him in all my thoughts, all my actions? In virtue of God's abiding presence, we would lack no good thing. In this reading, there are some renderings that in the original Hebrew give it even more of a focus on God taking care of His people. For instance, rather than saying, He leadeth me beside the still waters, a truer rendering would probably be, God leads me to the waters. I mean, if a shepherd is taking care of his flock, leading them beside the waters isn't going to really quench their thirst, is it? It doesn't happen by osmosis. leading the flock to the water is what's going to take care of their needs. And God does this. What we actually need, he leads us directly to. God's not really vague. I mean, a lot of people think that, but God really isn't vague once we have made him the center of our being. Once he is where our real home is. Once we have learned to find our home in God. So he leads us right to the waters. God not only restores our soul, restoreth my soul, but he restores my whole being from the inside out. God is about everything that makes us up, not just one component. So if we are offering something to God in prayer, and we have a particular need that we think we have, and it might be about a particular person, or it might be about something in us, a particular item, God also considers everything else around that item. If God knows all about us, then he's not just going to focus on that one item. He's going to focus on everything that comes into making that or that becomes a problem for us, if you understand what I'm saying. God considers the whole list of things. And this is one that you might not want to hear, but I'm going to share it with you anyways. So go ahead and plug your ears if you really don't want to hear it. God leads me as a helpless one. In the original Hebrew, that's probably the truer rendering of this. We are vulnerable, and we desperately need God. And God responds to that. Do you understand what that says? God responds to our need, not standing afar, making us beg and making us grovel, but rather God is the one who is already there and there to sustain and to renew so we can find our home in him and him alone. For us who have heard this scripture passage before, and for us who think about the verse that says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, we think about hospitality, and we think about when people show up unexpectedly, and we sometimes respond to those things in different ways, don't we? Come on in, sure, there's plenty of room. Hospitality. And us being willing to be hospitable with others, in other words, share the presence of God that is in us with others, is a key biblical truth. A question that we have this morning, after we've heard about how God is wanting to lead us. God is wanting to sustain. God is wanting to take care of us in explicit and powerful and deep and abiding ways. The question is, can God trust us then to receive that and to share it with others? That's always part of the equation, isn't it? As disciples. Certainly, we're washed over. We receive it. Yes. God provides. The great shepherd takes care of his flock. I'm not calling you dumb sheep. I just want you to know that right now. Do not go away from this saying, hey, you know what he said about us? That's not it. It's a whole nother story. God is taking care of his flock, though, and his people. And we can abide in him. That's where our hearts should be. That's where our centering should be. That's our beginning and our end. But can we be trusted to be channels of that grace? I think we can. It doesn't have to be done in a grand and majestic way, in a world-changing way, or even in a community-changing way, but it can be done in a life-changing way. Whenever we share with somebody else that they are cared for, whenever we share with someone else that they're noticed. When we share with someone else that they are loved, and we can say that in a lot of different ways. When we help others to recognize this same God at work in their life that has sustained us, that has led us to quench the thirsting of our souls, that has protected us, that has provided for us. When we, that same God that has done that for us is also already doing it for them and wants to do it in a more recognizable way if they would only be open to that God. When we do that in ways of grace and love, my friends, then indeed we are to be trusted. We can be trusted. And what's more, we are modern day disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Filled by God, trusted, entrusted to be channels of grace by the great shepherd who's washed over us in more ways than we can ever imagine. What an awesome truth. What a fantastic call to take with us from this place. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ here, right now. We are part of the same family, God's family. But there are those right now that I would call forward and recognize who are going to be joining this church family this morning. We have a number of individuals, and I would ask that Victor and Marlis Thompson, Mike and Shirley Kilman, Connie Whitener, John and Sandy Rogalski, Shirley Pate, and Brandon Strope come forward. If you could go ahead and just stand right in front of the altar here. I'm going to be looking up at you. Good to see you, folks.
Hi. It's here. It's here.
We're all part of God's flock, aren't we? But there are those that in seeking to be members are saying, we want to be disciples. And we want to be part of this in an even more intimate way. So at this time, we receive these friends in Christ as members. I ask you, do you believe in the one true God, your Heavenly Father, and seek to make Him the center of your being? If so, please respond with, we do. Do you claim a saving relationship with that God through the risen, resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ? If so, please respond with, we do. Are you open to the working of God's Holy Spirit in your life and open to how that Holy Spirit guides you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in what you do and say? If so, please respond with, we do. And will you be open also to however God guides you to support this place and to be part of the greater church as well in all that you have and in all that you say and in all that you do? And if so, please respond with, amen. Amen. Well, all of you gathered, agree to support these brothers and sisters in Christ with your prayers, with your presence, encouragement, in whatever way God guides you, and offer them your love and support specifically today. If so, please respond with, amen.
Amen.
Welcome into the fellowship of Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. Please, please, thank you. Also, remember, go to room 9, because we want to get your photos. Not mugshots, photos. Okay, go to room 9 after worship. And if you want to go ahead and greet these folks, make sure and do that, okay, afterwards. And go to room 9 and go ahead and give them a hug. Thank you for coming down. Wonderful to have you here.